gonna tell, oh, Coach Butler, oh, he just hate me. I don't hate nobody in here. I love everybody. But I dislike some of y'all football with a passion. Some of y'all football sucks. And you ain't man enough to know it sucks because you're trying to be hard. Well, I know he ain't talking to me. I'll do this. No, you won't. You won't do nothing but take what I'm telling you and either get you a job or won't get a job. By the time we kick off in Winnipeg on Thursday, you better make up in your mind that I'm trying to get a job for the Raiders and let me go out and show them I can play the way they want to play. The storm coming. I hope you build the ship. The storm coming.
Oh, baby, that is Raiders defensive line coach Brinston Buckner. And you better believe we've built a ship on this podcast. And can I just get this out of the way? This is the fourth time we're doing it, but knock on wood if you're with me. Yes, you are with me. You are listening, and we are with this 2019 Raiders team. In Tuesday night's show, we got a unique trip to Winnipeg. We got Antonio Brown reading fan mail. We got lots of Keelan Doss. And we got a good debate on Canadian icons. No disrespect to Mike Myers. It's the Hard Knocks Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Schrager, and this week we've got another good listen for you. Our guest is broadcast legend Mike Tirico, who not only now anchors NBC's Football Night in America studio show on Sunday evenings, but he's got a seven-year experience with John Gruden, his former broadcast partner in the booth on Monday Night Football, under his belt. Mike's going to take us behind the curtain and tell us what John Gruden's really like. He'll share what he thinks was going through the head coach's mind when Gruden was told that the Raiders would be competing on an 80-yard field in their third preseason game. And after all that, I've got my MVP of the week and what to watch for in next week's final episode. But first, Winnipeg. Yes, Winnipeg. Nothing seems to be easy for the Raiders this month. First, it was Antonio Brown's mangled feet. Then it was the whole helmet saga. And now it's the field conditions up in Winnipeg, Canada. It's a foreign land in a completely foreign situation, and it serves as another obstacle in the Raiders' 2019 preseason. John Gruden welcomes his troops north of the border and notes that some players, primarily veteran starters, would not be making the trip. Gruden's in good but cautious spirits going into the game. As the preseason winds down, the threat of cuts is ominous, and you can feel that anxiety in the room as vulnerable players are thinking about ways they can prove themselves. The team arrives at the stadium, IG Field in Manitoba, and sure enough, some concerns arise. Okay, so the field. Let's backtrack a little bit. Let me explain. The standard Canadian Football League field is both longer and wider than a standard NFL football field. The total length of a CFL field is 150 yards. The total length of an NFL field is 120 yards. The goalposts in the NFL are at the back of the end zone, but in the CFL, the goalposts are like those old vintage highlights you see of 1960s football where they're up in the front of the end zone. So when you run in for a touchdown, you literally have to make sure you are not running into those giant yellow poles. NFL, they moved those back a long time ago to the back of the end zone. They are right there in front with the CFL. And those are just some of the differences between a standard Canadian Football League field and a standard National Football League field. Then on top of that, there were issues with the actual surface of the field itself. It was a mess.
When they reduced the size of the field for the NFL, they had to remove the goalposts, and that left an area that they had to patch. They have tried to patch it up. The Packers weren't satisfied.
The doctors of the Green Bay Packers do not believe the field is safe.
We see stadium officials stomping down on a temporary patch of turf to smooth and flatten it out. And in the end, instead of running the risk of having players play on that patch, the resolution was to just shorten the playing field entirely to 80 yards. So now the Raiders are not only playing in a stadium that they're completely unfamiliar with, in a country they're unfamiliar with, but now they're also on a field that is significantly smaller than any field they have ever played on before. Okay, so what's really going on here? Obviously, it's not ideal, and people want to point and say, well, who's to blame? Okay, well, in previous instances, like the one in Mexico City last year, fingers were pointed at everybody from Shakira for a concert that she had the week before to the NFL operational folks who didn't get the field in proper shape in time and they had to change the location of the game from Mexico to Los Angeles in a moment's notice. But with this one, it was actually the Raiders, and not necessarily the NFL, who helped lead the way on pushing to make this Canadian game happen. The league did assist with operations, though. And honestly, the game didn't have the same marketing push as some of those other international games we've seen, whether it be in London or Mexico. And yet, by Thursday, there was definitely some momentum heading into the exhibition game. Aaron Rodgers, the star quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, showed up in Canada off a plane wearing all denim and a bolo tie. The clip went absolutely viral. There was actually real juice to this game. People were talking about it all Thursday. But when the Packers' doctors decided the field was unsafe to play on, Green Bay decided to pull 33 different players from the game. Rodgers, who is arguably the sport's most marketable star, was supposed to start and at least play a few downs for the Canadian crowd and that new audience, but it never happened. The Packers played DeShone Kizer and Tim Boyle, a relative unknown, at quarterback instead. Again, it's not ideal, and Coach Gruden doesn't seem that thrilled when he's talking to officials before the game.
Hey, just so I know, hey, can I ask this question just so I know this, so I can explain this? How would you explain this to your team, that we're playing on a, what, 80-yard field? And just trust that the referees will educate us.
So the end zones will start at the 10-yard line to the typical goal line. Yep. We'll move the goal line pylons. So they will see that the pylons have been moved up.
There's no kickoffs.
No kickoffs. We're going to set the ball at the 25-yard line, which is really like the minus 15, right?
I'm glad you guys have a great feel for this.
We will get through it.
Yeah, great. That's great.
Ah, adversity. And this is what Gruden loves. And of course he uses this situation to rev up his guys. Hell, after his pregame speech, I was looking to suit up and play for him on an 80-yard field. I would have played on a 60-yard field. I would have played in a pile of rocks. Gruden is a master of taking a challenge and using it to motivate his men.
We'll play on a 180-yard field. We'll play on any shape field. Right, guys? All right, let's go get after their ass.
We're fucking Canada, man. Let's go ball the fuck out. Hey, ball out on three. 1, 2, 3. Ball out!
Throughout the entire preseason, Gruden has faced a bunch of challenges, but has been surprisingly calm and collected every single step of the way. This was really the first time we saw him a little peeved. So I reached out to a guy who has spent a bunch of time with John Gruden, both on the job and off. Mike Tirico spent 7 years in the Monday Night Football booth alongside Coach Gruden. Tirico and Gruden have a special bond. They worked together, they dined together, they met with teams together every week during the football season for nearly a decade. Tirico is incredibly fond of Gruden and vice versa.
Peter, Mike Tirico, how are you?
I love you, man. Thank you for doing this. Let's talk Hard Knocks, the field situation in Canada. Yep. John Gruden put on this face on Tuesday night's episode like he just wanted to play ball. He'd be willing to coach a football game in outer space if he had to.
Right.
Is that real, John? You worked with him for years. Or is that just like fall machismo that he's showing off to the cameras?
John has a great way about showing his displeasure with his facial expressions more than his words. And then when it gets to the point where it boils over and can't keep it in anymore, then it becomes the words. I will tell you that watching Hard Knocks, if anybody thinks that John is playing for the camera, I spent 7 years with the guy, 3 days a week for 20 weeks. That's a lot of days. You can do the math. And this is John. This is who John Gruden is. It's the way he acts. It's his love and passion for football, connection with players, frustration when things aren't right. like when the officials told about the 80-yard field, he said, okay, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's just real great. That's vintage John saying, I don't like this, but we're going to have to deal with it. This has been a trip down memory lane for me, to be honest, these 4 weeks so far.
You were with him for those 7 years. Do you get the sense that he had that itch to come back? I mean, it's fun to do the games, but did you know maybe year three, year four, when he's up in the booth in, say, Washington in a game in week 14, that maybe I want to be out there on the field coaching?
Yeah, there were always times that you knew that the coach in John was still there. You can hear it, his frustrations with different parts of new football, adjustments the league has made, all those things. And John's very old school in a lot of ways, a lot of times to benefit, a lot of times to detriment. He knows that, but that's who he is. And he's very secure in who he is, and he never changes. But John never stopped wanting to be a coach. I always felt that was in him. And he coached us. You know, he'd always tell us, we're going to coach you guys as a team. We're going to coach you up. We're going to get you all figured out here. And that's what he loves to have as part of his life and what he loves to do. And I think you're seeing that as you watch the show. The John Gruden on TV, the things he said, not very different from the John Gruden who talks in front of his team or says, hey, do you like that? Are you with me? All that stuff. I can't tell you how many tables in hotels in NFL cities I knocked on three times.
Is that right? That was his thing. Because I didn't know that back to the Oakland or Tampa Bay days. I don't remember the knock on wood if you're with me.
John did that in all of our meetings. He'd do a video presentation. Jay Rothman, our producer for Monday Night Football, and John really struck a perfect harmony of preparing us for a broadcast. And John would get up and do video presentations on the team, on the opponent, or on an aspect of it. And he'd give you, you know, as he had his back or he was sitting there in the chair drinking a cup of coffee with the cowboy clicker in his hand, going back and forth on a piece of video. Not three times if you're with me.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, Tirico. Hey, Salters. What's the only way to do this here? You know, and he's kind of waiting for us to chime in. So that is very real, John. I honestly, week one and two, I laughed so hard watching the show, and it really dawned on me, this is 7 years of my life. I'm watching it over and over, and and I miss it. I really miss it. You can see there's a magnetic quality to it. Now, you're going to have to win, and he knows that. He knows this is a results business, but I think to come back for the Raiders last 2 years in Oakland, to get them into Vegas, to try to create the magic that was about the Raiders, this is vintage John. And with all the sideshows that are coming along with it from the personalities of this team, John likes heavy metal. John likes the volume loud. And that's what all of this is.
If anything, and I know I'm hosting this podcast in full disclosure with HBO and NFL Films, I feel like we haven't gotten a lot of Richie Incognito, who is this enigmatic character. We haven't gotten any Vontaze Burfict, who has this troubled past. And yet John Gruden and Mike Mayock welcome these guys into the locker room, even Antonio Brown, with how things ended in Pittsburgh. Were you surprised or were you not surprised that he wanted those type of characters, guys with troubled pasts, on his roster?
John can see the hope and the talent and believes he can connect with guys. Some folks have gotten to organizations now where they don't want any part of that. John sees that, and he believes that I can get to this guy. We didn't really talk about that much, but just being around him, knowing the players that he had coached in the past, the stories he told us, the second chance guys, he knows that you can't coach Derek Carr and Antonio Brown and Richie Incognito and Vontaze Burfict the same way. I'll give you this, Peter. I don't think I've ever talked about this. We'd go into production meetings, and sometimes there are things you have to talk about in production meetings that aren't the most comfortable things, whether it's a starter got benched, a coach is on the hot seat, somebody made a big mistake, or he's got a contract situation hanging out there. And usually, it's kind of the job of the play-by-play guy to bring that up in a production meeting to kind of run it along. I was always ready for it, and John would head on, like, hey, man, let's talk about this. They're talking about you. What's going on? What's the deal? So even though there's that little bit of John Gruden back and forth, he has a way of being very direct and getting to the point. And I think you're seeing a little bit of that with the guys who are on this roster, and I'll be fascinated to see if he can make them all work. I'll tell you this. I think his connection with Derek Carr is real. I think we see it in some of the leadership you saw on the show of Derek connecting with players, just saying, hey, 99% isn't good enough. It's got to be 100%. So all of a sudden, Derek's become an extension of his head coach. And I think that's a little example of what John tries to do with veteran leaders. Now, can he do that with a guy like Burfict and keep him from getting silly penalties? Can he do that with an Incognito who we've known where he's been? But we also know that he can be a very important veteran piece to a puzzle still in the NFL. That'll be fascinating to see, and those are the challenges that I'm not surprised John's willing to take on.
Yeah, and this week particularly coming up, it's going to be a huge week for not only John Gruden and the Raiders, but also the Raiders franchise with Mike Mayock now at the helm, where we're going to learn who's making the final roster, who's making the 53. Knowing John the way you do and how many times you guys have had conversations about this stuff, what should we know before we go into this week of decision-making process on who goes from 90 to 53 and who makes the cut for the Oakland Raiders 2019 roster?
Yeah, without the specifics of the roster, just in general, to not highlight one or two guys, you can see the guys who are his kind of players. I think the interaction has led the producers to put those guys front and center in a lot of storytelling here, you know, like a Doss, like a Renfro, et cetera. If you've watched the show, you get a sense of that. I know that is going to be the toughest part for John. I was working with John. I saw it through his eyes, and he'd explain to me how tough it is to cut a guy. That's that guy's life. Man, you're ruining, changing his path forever. So I know this is going to be a really tough week, I think, and I don't know how much of it's going to be on camera, how much of it's going to be captured, but I know watching those in the past has always been an uncomfortable point for me because of the window that John's given me on that process, how tough that is. And now with it all coming at once and doing 30-some-odd in one day, and Mike will be going through it for the first time in the big chair of a GM, it's going to be a tough week for them and all their peers around the league. And while it's the best part of TV and the TV guy in me loves it,
yeah,
watching from a little bit closer and getting to know guys, it's really, really a tough stretch coming up. He's been the biggest head coach star that Hard Knocks has had, and I think they've maximized that with the production of the show this year.
All 90 of these players are going to take something away from their experience at Raiders camp, and I'm not getting sentimental with you, but you spent seven years in the premier spot of Monday Night Football, the same seat that Cosell was in and Frank Gifford and all the greats, and you were next to John Gruden. What was the one thing you take away from those 7 years? What was the one thing you learned from John Gruden?
Passion for the job. Absolutely love where you are and what you're doing, Peter. More than ever. I had done, oh my gosh, maybe 18, 19 years of football, whether it be calling college football or working in the studio or NFL studio shows at ESPN, and I thought I really knew football. I was pretty, you know, blindly confident that I understood the game. And I had a 7-year undergrad, graduate, and doctorate class with John. He taught us ball. He got me understanding West Coast offense terminology, new terminologies, how things converted, what coaches think, what players think. He brought me into an inner sanctum that I never would have. The conversations that John and Peyton Manning had, or John and Tom Brady, John and some of the great coaches, Andy Reid, those guys, and just the things that I learned by being around him were all incredible in my education about the game, and hopefully made me a little bit better wired for the rest of my career to explain football when I get the opportunity to. But the one thing that John sharpened for me is the passion for what you're doing.
It's beautiful. Mike, where can we see your work this season during the NFL campaign?
We are Chicago bound here. I will watch the last Hard Knocks episode from Chicago as we get ready for the season opener. We'll get the Football Night in America crew, Tony Dungy, Rodney Harrison, Chris Sims, Mike Florio, and Liam McHugh. I'll be on the road in Chicago. And then every Sunday night before Sunday Night Football. So we're cranking up that, getting ready for Notre Dame football, and the season's here and life is good.
All is good. Mike Tirico, thank you so much for joining the Hard Knocks podcast. Awesome as always.
My pal Shrake, great to connect. Keep up the awesome work on Good Morning Football, and can't wait to see you, man.
You're the best, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter.
As Mike hit on, Gruden seems to be able to get the best out of everyone. The Raiders go on to win that preseason game in Winnipeg, coming back from a 21-10 deficit. Nathan Peterman is the guy who leads the Raiders back from the brink.
Hey, Nate, I can't tell you, man.
Appreciate it.
That's as good as I've seen you play since Pitt, man. You made some great throws, man. Yeah. I mean, four or five of them should have been big plays.
Yeah. Yeah.
You saw the field good, yeah, man. Made some great audibles. Yeah. No sacks. Yeah. I mean, he took care of the ball.
Yeah.
2-minute drive.
Yep.
Great job.
Be better.
God bless you.
Always
yeah.
Be
great, great. Proud of you, Nate.
Appreciate it, Coach.
I love that. And I love Nathan Peterman's story. I am going to come out and say it. I am rooting for him to make that Raiders final 53. You see, for years, Nathan Peterman's been an NFL internet meme, a punching bag for everyone on Twitter, and a name who's been written off by most football fans. He was a draft pick of the Buffalo Bills, and he had about as rough a start of an NFL career as any quarterback in the history of the sport. He threw 5 interceptions in his first game. A year later, still with the Bills, he threw another bad interception in a game against the Houston Texans when he was inserted into the lineup off the bench. But here's Nathan Peterman trying out for the Oakland Raiders and making good. John Gruden is clearly in his corner, even if he's saying his name as Peterman. Each week, we give out an MVP award. This week, I'm going with Raiders tight ends coach Frank Smith, who just busts Canadian-born Luke Wilson's chops the entire episode.
Canada, our home and native land.
That's why I'm always asking about where's the Labatt beer at, you know?
Oh, yeah. I asked him if he could translate the script into French, and he told me to fuck off.
Head to head, who could get away with more trouble in Canada? Mike Myers or Drake?
Drake.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Shrek, Wayne's World.
I mean, that's no disrespect to Mike Myers.
No disrespect taken. In addition to the MVP, I always give a thing or someone or a storyline that I'm looking towards for the next episode. And in this case, it's the final episode, and I'm fascinated to see how these cuts go because there are 90 different players in Raiders training camp and preseason right now. Only 53 will make the final roster. We've become invested in some of these guys' stories, and it's everyone from Darren Waller, the tight end trying to make a comeback with the Oakland Raiders, to Hunter Renfrow, the undersized college superstar trying to make the NFL roster. And then there are, you know, the stories of the long shots who are making good. I'm talking about Keelan Doss, the wide receiver who was a local high school legend who went undrafted in the 2019 NFL draft. Will all of these players make the final 53? Will some of them? Will none of them? And how does John Gruden and Mike Mayock go about in telling these players whether they're in or they're out? It's the beauty of the final episode of Hard Knocks, and I can't wait to see how it all unfolds. And that's it for this week's episode of the Hard Knocks podcast. This show was produced by HBO Sports, NFL Films, and Pineapple Street Media. Also, check out the Hard Knocks Instagram page at Hard Knocks HBO. There's amazing stuff on there, including Hard Knocks Now, which shares daily updates from Raiders training camp. Also, listeners, we want to hear from you. Tweet me at pschrags. That's pschrags. I'm your host, Peter Schrager. Make sure to watch episode 5 of Hard Knocks on HBO next Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's the final episode of the season. You don't want to miss it. You can also find the Hard Knocks podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to rate, review, and to subscribe. We'll be back with our own season finale next week. Till then, thank you, everyone.